What advice would you have for, an engineer today or somebody in IT that might be interested in sales?
I think the best decision I ever made was to work for an MSP, number one. The exposure that you get can skyrocket your knowledge overnight. After that, I'd say, don't say no to opportunities. Be willing to stand up and say, hey, I want something different. Mm-hmm. I think I could make a difference.
Yeah. Welcome back to another episode of Unraveling IT, Expert Tech Talks. I'm Garrett Wiesenberg, VP of Solutions Consulting here at Corsica Technologies, and I'm joined here today by Nate Troyer, one of our account executives, to get a better background into, how Nate got into this field, what his background kind of looks like, and then dive into what he's seeing on the front lines today. Nate, it's great to have you.
Wow. It's great to be here.
I think the big question is, how did you get here? Because you've been in this specific role for a few years, but you've been in the company for, I think 15 plus now at this point. So what's your journey been like?
So I started my IT career at a small place. You probably heard of it, Best Buy. I honestly started at Best Buy before there was Geek Squad. I was there for the start of Geek Squad, and I worked for a little bit there. And then I ended up wanting to kind of make a career shift and a change, and I worked for a small MSP and found out that it was very similar to the role I had at Best Buy. So it was a really good fit because I'd already experienced like going out on site, doing those sorts of things yep. and activities. Technically, I've not worked for a different MSP since because...
Unpack that for me.
As happens in the MSP space sometimes, different companies will get bought out by other companies. And that's what happened. ENS bought the company that I was working for. It was called Cutting Edge Technologies. I got folded in, started on the help desk at ENS. Great group of people that worked there. They were highly skilled people. And they just kind of poured their knowledge out without really, caring about keeping that to themselves. They were very, mm-hmm. Giving. And I just started to learn and got some certifications along the way. Have you seen my signature on my emails?
I have.
I know. It's like...
It's lengthy.
And it's lengthy. But yeah, I did that for a while. I worked my way up into projects. The company then transformed into Simplexity, then became Corsica Technologies. Over that time period, I've had positions in projects, like I said, DevOps. I did a little bit of management. Did not like that. I like fixing problems. I don't necessarily like fixing people. I'm not very good at it. So
well, people problems, because you don't fix the people, but you fix their problems.
I mean, you're probably right. And so I went to work for another part of the organization that mainly did sales engineering. This weirdo was running the show at the time. I think his name was Garrett Wiesenberg.
Yes.
So I went to work with you. Got a lot of good understanding. The idea was, since I'd been a part of supporting the product that we offered, I would be good at least designing around mm-hmm. that product. And then I was actually approached by Brian Harmison, our CEO, and asked, hey, do you want to sell the product? And I went, no. That was my original response, was no.
Why was it no?
I think it was no because I had very little real sales experience. Best mm-hmm. Buy was sales experience, but not like...
It's transactional sales.
Transactional.
It's not really the relational or, longer sales cycles. I mean, at Best Buy, I have to imagine people were walking in and saying, I want this computer. And you were like, here you go.
Which is probably why I have a better personality from working at Best Buy than if I had not worked there. So essentially, I just kind of thought about that. And the idea that he had proposed was, you've been so integral in actually building the product, our managed services product over the years. You're the perfect person who knows how it works and knows what we can accomplish. Seeing that, seeing how adaptable we are, mm-hmm. how we can solve problems very quickly. Like if we don't offer something, we figure it out very quickly and we can get it to market. I would say faster than I've seen anything else. I mean, I love the culture here.
So would you say that of all the roles you've held in the past, that the one you're currently in is the one that, you know, suits you the most, or that you enjoy the most?
I think that this role right now is the most interesting role I've had. I'm still figuring it out as I go. I tend to still look at things the way an engineer does, which is just give me your problem and I'll solve it. You know, learning to be an active listener, learning to understand where people are coming from. I always knew that this was a service-based industry, but it was more, my understanding was more segmented. It was compartmentalized in, hey, this person's having a bad day, they're calling in, their printer's broken, they need it fixed. So being empathetic to that, the problems that you find an organization going through might be a little bit more nuanced. And so you really have to be paying attention, really active listening. So yeah, I'd say that it's the most fulfilling role I've had so far.
Really?
Definitely. Yes. Well,
so you've obviously had a bit of a lead up, or, you know, an ease into the account executive role here and into sales as a whole, because you went to solutions engineering and did some of the pre-sales technical. So you kind of got familiar with the sales cycle. What advice would you have for, you know, an engineer today or somebody in IT that might be interested in sales? What steps could they be taking today to get into that field?
I think the best decision I ever made was to work for an MSP. Number one, the exposure that you get can skyrocket your knowledge in the IT field overnight.
Yep.
You know, something's always happening. There's always work to do. After that, I'd say I learned very quickly to also don't say no. You know, I didn't want to learn remote desktop services. I had no desire to do any of that. But as I got more exposure to it and got better at it, I became the person that was needed during that time period. I mean, this we're talking about like 2013, 2014. Yep. And I became that guy who was just fixing that all the time because it was highly needed and desirable.
Yeah.
So don't say no. Don't say no to opportunities. Keep making the best of each role that you're in and each job and task that you're given. Try to make the best of it. And then I'd also say there's a healthy amount of be willing to stand up and say, hey, I want something different. I would rather do this. I think I could make a difference.
Yeah.
But start with just saying yes. Because I guarantee you, at least this was true for me, always saying, hey, I'll take the 3 a.m. run to so-and-so's location because they have an outage.
Yep.
That won a lot of points in people's heads. I'm sure of it.
Yeah, you're a team player.
Yes, you're a team player. Learn how to have a conversation with people early. Just learn that skill. And if you're good at being able to have discussions with people and you have the IT background, sales is kind of, it's an easy transition. It's just hard to get over the hump of, hey, you know, I made such and such amount of money.
Yeah.
This is high risk, high reward, but a lot of people do it.
Yeah.
So that's the advice I'd give.
Okay. And, you know, I think that's a great segue kind of into the next topic, Nate, which is, you know, what are you seeing on the front lines today? We've talked about your career, how you've moved from, you know, entry level to, you know, projects and different roles throughout your career. But today you're in sales. And so you meet with our clients or prospective clients day in, day out. What are some consistent themes or trends that you're hearing from those organizations?
I think it really depends on size, but one of the biggest ones that I'm noticing right now is there seems to be an awakening. They're suddenly starting to realize that maybe it's not best to have full-time employees doing advanced level things. I think the era of, you know, hiring a system engineer for a 500 person company is going the way of the dodo.
Okay. Why is that?
Well, what a system engineer wants to do is in the title. Wants to engineer things. And once you have engineered a solution and you don't touch it, they tend to just run.
Yeah.
And if I'm a system engineer and I'm sitting in my office all day and I've never had any of this exposure, what am I going to do to prove my value after this has been installed? I would do what a lot of engineers do, which is either make themselves visible in the office fixing problems, right? Which I would argue means that you're not doing your job, sends the wrong signals. If I am doing my job, you should not see me. If somebody were to hire me as a system engineer, I'd say don't hire anybody else. Farm out your cybersecurity, because I don't want to be here 24/7, 365.
Well, you can't be.
I mean, can't be.
Yeah.
I actually can't be. And I will just take care of the 500 users. One really good system admin or system engineer can support up to 500 users, because one, those people have worked in the industry long enough that they're not going to want to keep fixing Debbie's printer. They're going to find the answer to that problem. You know, and they also know that if they don't touch anything, it's not going to break. What happens, though, is as human beings, we want to develop our skill sets. So what we tend to do is we start tinkering. It's not nefarious. It's not malicious. It's just we start tinkering, and that's when things start breaking, and that's when you can actually start fixing them, and you can show, like, look at this.
Yeah.
Organizations are realizing that, and they're going, like, am I spending my dollars wisely? I actually think that when it comes to mid-market organizations, you're probably at the point where you should at least have one person who can be at the water cooler. They're there making sure that there is some form of support that's readily available that can have a presence, and then farm out the advanced level stuff to people who, you know, have those skill sets. That's just kind of my philosophy on it. I'm not trying to rag on system engineers.
Yeah, it's the same for network engineers, yeah. Security architect. Yeah, I mean, any of those types of roles. But, you know, it brings up a good question. So are clients more focused on security, IT, cost cutting, budgeting? I mean, what are you seeing right now? Obviously, there's a lot of trepidation around the tariffs that are going on, uncertainty in the markets. You know,
that's a big question. It's a really big question. It's a little bit of all those columns mixed together. But I think the one that kind of bubbles to the surface, there's more risk now than there ever was. Cybersecurity events happen, and the fallout from those is gigantic for some
material.
Companies. It's very material. And every company wants to be as secure as they possibly can be. Money's the resource that's the issue. If you go out and you try to man a SOC, an actual SOC for your organization, something like $560,000+.
Well, depending on the size, right? And like the amount of...
I think when we ran the numbers, if you like hired a director from America, but everybody else was like Eastern Europe, Southeast Asia, the places where you could get the best bang for your buck, right? It was still that expensive. Well, that's including the tooling. That's where we come in. Like, we are, for the price of a person, usually, you know, or maybe a fully loaded employee, we can give you an entire team and the tool sets to do it. We will provide the human capital. We will provide the applications and the controls that will secure you. And we'll man those. We'll configure them, which is another, like, soft cost. You have to configure these things. You have to maintain all these solutions. I think when you start really looking at that and seeing how expensive it gets, farming that out makes a lot more sense. And actually, for the system engineers and the system admins out in the world, it makes a lot of sense to work at an MSP. I think that's where the market's going. I think that's where it's going to end up at for people in IT, because I've already seen what's happened when cybersecurity became a big deal. Mr. Guy who knows about Active Directory and Exchange and all that stuff and all the DB stuff, that kind of went by the wayside. Like, they were devalued almost overnight. And I think the best way for those individuals to succeed in the market is to come and work for an MSP where they're going to get tons of exposure to the newest, the latest things, and things breaking and figuring out why they broke and the what and the hows behind it. If you're out there, you're thinking about making a change, it'd be a good idea to look at an MSP.
Okay. So what are some misconceptions that you've run into with clients and their view of a managed services IT model?
It's kind of all over the board. My favorite clients are clients that have been around the block a little bit. I love talking to IT directors and CFOs that have some tenure because they get it. They get what they're buying. You know, is an MSP going to give the same level of service for a help desk, right, that Bill, who works at your organization, can do? No, probably not, right? Like, 'cause Bill's there all the time. We're remote. We have to send someone on site. There's a delay. They know they're not buying that.
It's an expectation setting, you know, activity.
It might take a little longer for Joni to have her printer fixed, right? But what I'm getting is when Joni clicks on something that she shouldn't, I've got people there who are going to fix that problem and keep me safe. And I'd rather have that than, you know, 20% faster resolution to Joni's problem.
So you're saying the misconception is that the experience from an MSP versus your internal staffed IT team, however large that may be, is going to vary.
People think what they're buying is they're buying the same level of support that they currently have. It's a different model. It prioritizes different things. The priorities become the risk to your business of a cybersecurity event.
So, you know, I think I maybe only have two more questions for you. But what's one thing you wish more clients understood about what we do?
We don't do magic. We don't do magic. Like, it's very similar to any other service-based industry. It just seems like it's magic and mysticism going on. When really, you know, it's the same reason why you don't bury your own fiber lines and connect up to the internet, right? Like, this is a service. We're trying to give you unmetered support. So you're going to pay for that, but you're not going to pay as much as you would have if you were the one burying the lines, buying the routers, taking all that connectivity. You're paying a fraction of that. Most of our clients are very sophisticated, but every once in a while, though, you do get a prospect that doesn't really understand what they're asking for, mm-hmm. and we talk through that. But that's probably the biggest thing. Go into it understanding that you're buying a service. You have to put a value onto those things.
Yeah.
And come prepared to speak about, this is the problem I'm having. How are you going to solve it? We are going to be deploying solutions into your organization. Applications that are going to go onto your devices that are going to protect you from any malicious activity. We're also going to deploy a product that will allow us to have remote control. Because one of the things that we do here that a lot of MSSPs don't actually do is they don't remediate the cybersecurity events. It's on the IT team at the organization to do that.
Gotcha. So you're saying the alert comes in, the cyber provider reviews the alert, and if an action needs to be taken, they pass it off to, you know, whatever IT team is mm-hmm. handling support.
Yep.
Okay.
We're going to document your environment so that if you have your own IT guy and he leaves, well, there goes all that tribal knowledge. That just went out the door. Mm-hmm. You know, so we document all that information so it doesn't matter who leaves.
Yeah.
And then we're going to improve your cybersecurity posture, give you some resources like our consultants that will come in and help drive business growth through IT, yep. understanding the company. That's what we're really driving at here. Good MSPs don't care as much about like slinging IT and cybersecurity
yep.
solutions. They care about business growth. If the business grows, it's more profitable for everybody, right? So we're multifaceted. We're not really doing magic. If you had an IT team, it would look very similar to us, except they wouldn't be moving around that much. They mm-hmm. wouldn't be doing a whole lot. They'd just be sitting there all day. We don't have that luxury.
No, we don't. That's for sure. There's always something going on. That's
yes.
the beauty of an MSP, right?
Yes. I've yeah. learned so much in my first year working at yeah. an MSP that it was mind-boggling.
Yeah, same. My final question. If you could give one piece of advice to, you know, business leaders out there, what would it be?
IT can be one of those places that most leaders don't want to look at, because as long as it's not breaking all the time, who cares? Mm-hmm. And what they do, in what I've seen at least, and this is why I think this awakening is happening, is they're starting to look at the bill and they're going, is there a better way of accomplishing this?
Yeah.
That better way does exist. It absolutely exists. What you will be giving up is, you know, time to resolution might be a little different. What you're going to be gaining is you're going to be getting stability across your organization. You're obviously going to be saving money because you may not have a couple of full-time employees that you thought were vital before who are not actually vital. And I think at the end of the day, you'll find that you will be more secure, more stable, and you'll save a lot of money in the process.
Well, yeah. Appreciate the insight, Nate. I know that it's a bit of a switch up. Normally you're interviewing me and I'm
like my perspective on things.
But
which, again, disclaimer, these are my perspectives.
Appreciate you coming in and you know, talking through this with me, and, you know, hope you have a great rest of your day.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being here.